we need to have faith in God. And the way to build your faith in God is to believe what God says. Now, you know what? People tried to get me to smoke for a long time, smoke cigarettes when I was a teenager. Anybody ever do that with you when you were a teenager? Try to get you to smoke? How about get you to lie? How about get you to play softball or football? See, who you hang out with is what you end up doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, these people kept trying to get me to smoke, and I kept saying, no, I don't want to smoke. My mom smoked, and I used to take and put oil in her cigarette pack. I used to fill her cigarettes with, what do you call that stuff that you, lighter fluid, okay? Boy, I bet that tasted good when she lit one up. Of course, then she took me, and she lit me up. Okay, with a belt. Okay, but what I'm saying is, I didn't like smoking. I didn't like that my mom did that. I didn't like the way it smelled. If I went to hug her and I smelled that on her, I was her son. I didn't like that, so I didn't want it on me. I didn't like that she spent money on that. It was nasty. It was nasty around the house. I didn't want that. So when I hung out with guys that were doing that, I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. But as I kept hanging around with them, guess what I did? Smoke. Well, you see, guess what? I want to be like Jesus. Is there anybody in this place who wants to be like Jesus? I'm so glad. I don't think I missed a hand. Let's try that again. I just want to back up here, see if I can see. Is there anybody in here who wants to be like Jesus? I want to make sure I didn't miss a hand. Oh, I think everybody raised their hand. I'm not sure, but I think. That is so cool. Then guess what? You have to hang out with Jesus. You see, you may not be a liar, but if you hang out with liars, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lie. Do you know why? It's not just because you hung out with them, but to hang out with them, you have to justify. Like if your mom or dad would tell you, don't hang out with so-and-so, like my parents used to tell me when I was a kid, and they would say, they lie. And I would say, no, Mom, and I would try to justify and explain why they did what they did. No, Mom, you don't understand. Yeah, my mom understood. She wasn't no dummy. My dad understood. They could see. They were older than me. But see, I tried to justify because I liked them and I wanted to hang out with them. But then as you hang out with them, guess what happens? You become like them. When Wayne and Tana were leaving here and their kids like Nate, and I put my arm around Nate, the last words I said to each one of them were, hang out with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. Who are you going to hang out with? Well, see, when you start reading this book, in this, you're going to find out that people hung out with God. They hung out with Him. They believed what He said instead of what they could see. Now you see, we can be carnal. That means to live in the flesh and live for the flesh. Okay? And we're just going to believe, if we're carnal, we're just going to believe what we see. And we all start out that way. We all start out believing what we see. But there's a lot of things that you do in life, and you can't see them, but you believe in them. You believe when that, you stick your key in that ignition and you turn it, that car is going to start up. Now, how many of you can explain to me in detail so that I can understand it, a combustible engine? Okay? Is there any of you that can do that? Because I can't. Can you explain to me air? So why are you breathing it if you don't, you know, you can't see it? You see, there's a lot of things we do we can't see, but we do them. We believe in them. Okay? Well, God wants us to believe in Him, and we can't see Him. He created us for fellowship. He put us here, and He said, now, I created you for fellowship. I created you so we could hang out together. He said, now, do you want me? You can just believe in whatever you're seeing out here, and you could go live for that, and we have. But it doesn't bring contentment. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring joy. At best, it brings temporary happiness. I have a little saying, happiness happens, but joy is eternal. Happiness happens, You can go do something that makes you happy. You know, it's kind of like sticking your finger in a wall socket. It's going to have an effect on you. You're going to definitely be moved by that. Okay? You could go and one time, have you ever heard of Publishers Clearing House? Well, one time Sue and I won $5,000. And I used to carry around that check, a copy of that check that we won $5,000. Look, we won it, didn't we, Cheryl? We won $5,000 from Publishers Clearing House. It only lasts so long. It'd be nice to have $5,000, but it's only going to last so long. It's temporary. It made you happy, but it didn't bring me joy. Do you know how to have joy? Sorry, have you ever heard this? You've heard this? Good. I'm going to say it again. Okay. J-O-Y. Is there any other way to spell joy? It's okay. I'll just wait. Is there any other way to spell joy? Oh, okay. I was just wondering if anybody was alive. Okay. I was wondering if I need to call in paramedics to check out your pulse. Okay. Here we go. You ready? J, Jesus. O, others. Y, yourself. When you put Jesus first and others second, quit living for yourself. Live for Jesus first, others second. The you is going to be taken care of. God doesn't use people. He will bring joy into your life, and joy is eternal. When you try to spell joy with a Y first, like Y Joe or Yaj, that's not joy, is it? No wonder you don't have joy. You want to have joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. We have a little saying over there. See that sign over there? Is it up there? Yeah, up on the front. See it? It's not about me. It is about Jesus, and he's all about others. As you hang out with Jesus, what do you want to do? Jesus, it's like focusing on Jesus. He comes and loves you, and he fills you up, and then you know what he does? He says, now, let's go love on somebody, because love has an object. You have to have an object that you pour out on. You have to have an object. So if you want God to flow through you, you got to let it flow through you to somebody. Okay? You got what I'm saying? We're going to read this Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to talk about faith and what it is you're putting your faith in. What are you putting your faith in? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? How do you believe God? Where's the evidence that you're believing God in your life? And what are you believing God for? What has he told you? What's his promises? What promise are you trusting in? What has God told you? What are you believing? Because what you believe is going to affect where you're going. Affect where you're going. What you believe is going to affect where you're going. Let's have a word of prayer. Can we do that? Father, today we just ask you to help us get closer to you. Help us to hear your word. Lord, right now I'm asking that you would fillet each one of us like a fish. Lay us wide open and wash over us in your precious blood, Jesus. Forgive us of our sin. Help us, Lord, just to give you all our cares, needs, burdens, pains, worries, fears. Just give it all to you and say, would you take care of it? And I love it every time I ask that question because I hear you say, I was just waiting for you to give it to me. And thank you that you care so much for us. You want us to give you all of that. Now, Lord, help us to get empty of all this other stuff so that we could focus and hear your word. We want to hear your word on purpose today. We want to hear your word with purpose and allow you to accomplish your purpose of your word inside of us to produce faith. We say, thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Okay? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report or a good report card from God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, going back to the beginning of time when you had Cain and Abel, the two sons of Adam and Eve, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, by faith, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, probably most famous verse in this chapter. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means we need to have faith. For he that cometh to God, do you want to come to God? You raised your hand a minute ago and said you did. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, or that he is alive, that he's real, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I told you that I taped a $100 bill underneath one of these chairs, and the first one that found it could have it, what would you do? What would you do? Would you sit there like a bump on a log? What would you do? See, I did that one time in a church service. Maybe you've seen me give away money in a church service because it catches people's attention. I preach in front of crowds and I talk to them about whatever, and I would use money, and I would say, God wants to give you a gift, probably eternal life. I was talking to him about eternal life as a gift from God. And I would say, I've got a $20 bill here. Is there anybody that wants it? And everybody, wherever you're preaching, everybody just sits there and looks at you like y'all are doing with me. You know, just looking. And I say, if you want the $20 bill, come get it. And all of a sudden, people start looking around, and then somebody, several of them usually at a time, jump up, but usually one gets up there, gets a 20. Or sometimes God will just have me go down and hand it to somebody. And then I go on talking about how eternal life is a gift from God. It's not something you can do to earn it. What we deserve is hell. What we deserve is to be separated from God forever because we've sinned. But God not only wants to forgive us, but he wants to give us eternal life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for sinning is death. But the gift of God that we don't deserve is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I say, could I give you this? And the guy takes the 20. And I go on talking. And pretty soon after I'm preaching or whatever, I get near the guy tries to hand me the 20 back. Or maybe after the service, the guy comes and tries to hand me the money back. And I said, no, I don't want it. He said, no, it's yours. And I said, no, it's not. I gave it to you. If I took it back, it wouldn't be a gift. A gift is something you give somebody they don't deserve. Well, if I told you there was a $100 bill underneath one of these chairs, what would you do? I could show you what you'd do. I could show you what you'd do. I could make one little statement and this whole room would be disrupted. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11. He says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's alive, that he's real, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently, like looking for that $100 bill underneath the seat, they diligently seek him. Can I ask you a question? I asked you a minute ago, how many of you want Jesus, or whatever question I asked, it was something along that lines, and you all raised your hands. But let me ask you this. Do you diligently seek Him? I'm challenging you. Come here a second, Glenn. Please, Pastor Glenn. I love you, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, you know what that means. Okay.
Wait a minute.
So you ready? Okay. I dare you. I dare you. Are you diligently seeking Him? I'm asking you, huh? Are you? I'm challenging you. Are you seeking Him? Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. If you need to do something, go ahead. Make you feel better. I'm challenging you. I'm double dog daring you. You see, do you want your life to be different? You're just happy with where it is. Huh? You got enough peace? You got so much you can't stand it? You're giving it away? Joy? Love? Fullness of God? Faith? Do you want more? Do you need more? Do you want your life to be different? Okay, then why do you keep doing the same thing? I'm sorry, excuse me, pay attention on purpose. I'm going to say this in love. Dumb, why do you keep doing the same thing? Listen to what I'm going to say. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he, she, you that comes to God must believe that He is. Do you believe He's real? And that He's a rewarder. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Y'all have heard my testimony so many times, I think you've grown callous to it. But just think about it for a second. Here's this guy that is making $2,000 to $5,000 a week selling drugs. Staying high 24 hours a day, hair down to his waist. You ever see anybody look like that? Earring in his ear. Yeah. Huh? Now, does that guy look like he's after Jesus? Does that guy, the words that come out of his mouth, his choices, his thoughts, does he in any way make you feel warm, fuzzy toward Jesus? I pulled in a place yesterday, went to go get some Chinese food when we left somewhere. Where was I? We were here, right? Yeah. I was going to go home. My wife had some roast on. But I wanted this Chinese egg drop soup. Okay, I love egg drop soup. So I go over here to this place, Don, where we go to eat, you know. And they had a wedding. And I didn't call them because I thought they might have a wedding. I thought maybe I'd just go in there and say, because they go, Javi. And then they, you know, because they know me. I've been going there 23 years. Javi. They come running and they hug me, little Chinese people. And then I say, I know you're having a wedding, but, you know, could you just get me some soup? And I thought that. That's why I didn't call them, because I didn't want them to tell me they had a wedding so I could go there and act like I didn't know. Okay? But somehow I already knew. But see, it's my favorite Chinese place. So I drove there. And when I pulled up, the parking lot was full. The parking lot next to them was full. And they had a car out front that had all the little stuff on it that it was obvious that it was a wedding. You know, all the little puffy little white things on the car and the streamers. And God was like, so are you just going to force your way in there? Are you just going to, you know, force your will on them and make them have to choose if they're going to take care of Javi or if they're going to say, no, we have a wedding today? And so I said, okay. So I go to this other place to get Chinese food. It's over near my house. I've been there before. It's not my favorite. But I thought, okay, I want some egg drop soup. So I go over there. There's these two guys standing out in front of the place. I did not feel comfortable. I'm a guy. I'm not afraid of anybody. But these two guys, I don't know what it was. I just didn't feel comfortable. That they were. Have you ever pulled up somewhere and there's people standing there and you just don't feel comfortable? I don't want to get out of my car. I did anyway, because I wanted Chinese food. But I didn't feel comfortable with them. So here's this guy. this mangy looking guy. And he ain't after God. But he made the mistake of coming in contact with God's Word. And as I started reading it, I'm smoking a joint. I am not doing this the right way. I'm not advocating you go home and smoke a joint and read the Bible. That is not what I'm encouraging you to do. I'm trying to help you understand how cool God is. Here I am. I'm as far away from Him as a doorknob, you know. I don't know Him. My heart is not after Him. But I started reading that Word. I'm smoking a joint. I've told that to some people. They go to church and they kind of go like this. And I said, what? He says, I'm surprised you didn't get hit with a lightning bolt. I said, you don't know my God. He loves you where you're at. But what's really cool is that He loves you too much to leave you there. And as I started reading it, because it said on the cover, caught my attention, words of Christ in red. And I flipped through. What does that mean? I come to red print. All this other black print. I just flipped through to the red print. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm sitting there reading the red print of God. The words of Jesus. The whole thing is the words of Jesus, but while He was on the earth. And as I'm reading it, it is so powerful that even though I'm smoking a joint, probably sipping on a beer, that was my life, toking on a cigarette, God is so powerful and so real, I'm not even doing it for the right reason, right attitude. But this Word is so powerful that it got inside of me. It arrested my attention. I put the joint out. And I just kept reading and reading. It was messing with me where I am. Where I was at. It was messing with me. It was bothering me. It was challenging me. It was convicting me. So much so that the next morning when I woke up, I knew I was going to hell that day if I didn't find the answer. So that's why when you get to heaven, you'll see that I ran from door to door. Hey, can you tell me how to get to Jesus? And when they didn't know, oh, you need to come to our church. You need to come meet my preacher. You need to get baptized. You need to come do the little religious thing. And I'm like, look, here's a Bible. Can you answer some questions? No, but if you come meet my preacher, don't you have enough Jesus to give away? And I'd say, thank you. And I ran to the next door. Knock on the door. Can you tell me how to get to Jesus? I was diligently seeking Him. Are you diligently seeking Him? Is there anybody in here that's up for a challenge? Could I give you a challenge? Good, I got one. I got two. I got three. I got four. I got five. Okay, anybody else? Six, seven, eight. Did I see a hand? Oh, yeah. Just itch my hand. Don't look over here. Don't look over here, preacher. I'm challenging you. I dare you. Could I have Brother Glenn come and I can push him again and show you? I double dog dare you to do what I'm talking about. I dare you to pick up your King James Bible, not one of those watered down ones. Pick up a King James Bible and start reading in, I don't care if it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you read a minimum of 3 chapters a day. Matter of fact, if we're going to make this a challenge, make it a minimum of 5 chapters a day. I dare you to do that for 1 month. Now, I'm going to make it a bigger challenge. If you come back at the end of a month and tell me it didn't do anything with you, right here in front of everybody, on recording, I am promising you, I will give you $100. Anybody in here want to take me up on that challenge? I guarantee you it will change your life. I want to get saved. I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to have peace with God. I want to have power with God. I want to have the presence of God. I want to have the blessings of God. I want more of Jesus. See, for me to ask you a question and for you to raise your hand, that was easy. You ever heard of put your money where your mouth is? You ever heard of let the rubber, where the rubber meets the road? Well, let's get real. I just gave you a challenge that will get you a definite, and I'm putting $100 on each one of you, betting you, that it will change your life. You want to sweeten the pot? Let's make it 200. Let's make it 250. Anybody want to enter into the challenge with me? Okay, I got one. Okay, mark it down, Brian. I got another one, Tom. I got another one, Mercada. There's three, there's 750. There's 1,000. Paula, anybody else? I want more of Jesus. What did that mean? I just want to come here and I just want it to fall on me. I just want to come in here and get the warm fuzzies. I just want to come in here and have somebody pray for me and bless me. You want God? Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith comes by hearing his word. Faith comes by hearing his word. You see, how many did we have? We had 4, because it was up to 1,000. Was there anybody else? Did we get there? Was there, let's see, 1,000? How many we have? Brian, Tom, Mercada, and Paula. Anybody else? Rick. $250 challenge to get more of Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, no, no. I don't want you to give me anything. I'm letting you know. I'm letting you know. I have never met anybody, not anybody, that began to read his word that it didn't affect him. We knocked on a door one time. Sue knocked on a door to talk to the man about Jesus. And he says, I don't believe in God. It didn't matter what she said. I don't believe in God. Guess what? She said, I'll make you a challenge. She said, you read your Bible. She handed him a Bible. She said, I think she handed him a Bible or he already had one. I don't remember. But I think she handed him a Bible and she said, I'll leave you a Bible. I won't talk to you for 2 weeks. Now, she didn't know this guy from anybody. We would go door to door and talk to people about Jesus because we believe in Jesus and it moves us. And we care because, see, I know anybody without Jesus is going to spend eternity with a boogeyman. And I don't want them to go there. And I'm tired of seeing people's lives in hell right now, a type of hell. And they're going to end up in a deeper hell. And I don't want them to be there. I'm tired of seeing people hurting and horrible marriages and kids turning out living for the devil and being all miserable and ending up in prison and jails and on drugs and all kinds of bondage. I'm tired of seeing that. So that's why I want to get everybody to Jesus, because He reached way down and scooped me out of the gutter, washed me clean in His precious blood, put His holy precious Spirit inside of me, Phil. I got filled. I got filled. His name's Phil. And then He adopted me into His family and called me a little Christian. Dude, now how am I going to beat that? I just want to get everybody to Jesus. So we knocked on the door. Sue knocked on the door. He says, I don't believe in God. She says, I'll tell you what. I come to this street every week, going down the street, talking to people about Jesus. She says, but I won't come to your door next week. I won't come for 2 weeks. If you'll promise me that you'll read the Bible every day, just start reading the Bible every day. He said, okay, it's a deal. He said, I don't believe in God. She said, that's okay. Just read the Bible. She came back in 2 weeks. You know the first thing he told her? He said, I believe in God, and I just met him this week. I just met him this week. How do you think both the hitmen I led to Jesus, how do you think they came to Jesus? Because they kept giving them the Word of God. Remember I told you the one at the machine shop? He pointed at me and said, I don't want to hear that anymore. This is a professional killer. And he pointed at me and said, I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear that Word of God anymore. You're making me uncomfortable. No problem. My mom didn't raise any fools who live in Michigan. No problem. You don't want to hear it? No problem. A month later, GM called me back. I left there. A year later, that same man came to my door, knocking on my door, and said, you got to get me to Jesus. He said, I went all the way to California trying to get away from the words you said to me because they made me so uncomfortable. In the last 4 days, I've been driving back just praying you hadn't moved. You're the only guy I know that can get me to Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Start with verse 7. Let's see this hall of faith. Let's see other people that put their faith in Jesus. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What was he warned of God about, Don? What did God warn Noah about? Say it louder. And how was he going to do that? He was going to bring a flood. So Noah, being warned of God, he said, it's going to rain. Now, folks, it had never rained. So here's Noah building this boat out in the middle of a desert. And the people are looking at him and laughing. What are you doing, you stupid guy? Why are you building this boat out here? There's no water here. He said, it's getting ready to rain. They're like, what? We've never seen that before. He said, God told me. Who? Who are you believing? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. Faith is an action word. If you have faith in something, it's going to cause you to move. You're going to do something with it. Do you understand? Are you listening? So Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Unfortunately, by him doing this, it says, by the which he condemned the world. You see, when Noah built this ark, God had said, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. And Noah, the Bible says, became a preacher of righteousness and told everybody, water's coming. I know we're out in the desert. I know you've never seen rain before, but God said that water's coming and it's going to flood this earth. And Noah, when he was warned of God, he moved with what God told him. But the people that listened to him for 120 years, yeah, 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 yeah. I just keep doing what I'm doing. Just keep living, making money, getting things, going skiing, trying to do everything, just living for me. I don't believe you. But when the water came, they believed him. But it was too late. Because they didn't believe what God said. They only believed what they could see. What are you believing? If you start reading the Word, it's going to cause you to start believing what God says. Why else do you think I'm offering to give you $250? I'm surprised there's only five people that are brave enough in here, have enough faith, take me up on it. Six. No, no, it's not. You don't have to give me anything. I know. See, some of them could take and say, no, it didn't affect me. And I'll say, that's fine. And within a year or so, they're going to come back to me. They're going to be begging me to take that money back because they can't live with themselves. I already know what's going to happen if you read the Word. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you read the Word? Why does the world do A, B, C, anything but Christ? Why will you do anything but Christ? Why will you not do it His way? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this. He's fighting the devil. The devil comes to tempt Jesus. He's been fasting for 40 days, led of God out into the wilderness. And the devil comes and starts tempting and says, if you're the Son of God, you're hungry, why don't you make these stones into bread? And Jesus said, it is written, the Word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone. How many of you are going to eat today? One of you? Oh, the rest of you are lying? Okay. That's about time, Mary, you got that hand up because you know you were lying if you said you weren't going to eat today. How many of you are going to eat today? Good. I'm glad because I don't like hanging out with liars. All right. You ready? You're going to eat today? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And he didn't mean to add pizza and grits to it. Okay. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. How shall man live? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need to read that to find out how to live. You're tired of existing. Every one of you said that. I'm tired of existing. Want to learn how to live? Get in His Word. Let His Word get in you. Think on what it says. Allow it inside of you. It's going to have an effect. When Noah heard from God, he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear and he prepared an ark. Imagine how big this boat was. And he prepared it to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's like Jesus. We get His righteousness applied to our account when we put our faith in what He did for us. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Abraham obeyed. And I love this verse, in this part of this verse. And he went out not knowing whither he went. God has sent me and told me to do things, and I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I'm getting ready to make a 6-week trip over into Africa, and I don't know what all is going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen. Except for things have been said that my wife says, if those things had been said to her, she'd be scared to death to go. See, God's working on breaking my pride right now. So He's getting ready to send me over there. All I know is just thinking about it has worked on my pride. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to get there and live there. It's not like visiting. It's like living there. Somebody asked me, I think it was yesterday, are you going to eat those bugs on a stick? I'm like, Brother Steve told me that they don't serve bugs on a stick, okay? Maybe they serve them on a platter, I don't know. But I'm not really looking forward to that, okay? All I know is I don't know what's happening. I'm just going because God told me to go. Somebody else in here said to me, there's these bad things happening in one of the countries you're going to, and this guy's going around killing people. What if you get killed? I said, so what if I do? Do you know you're going to heaven? Or do you hope you're going to heaven? See, I know I'm going to heaven. So I'm not afraid of dying. And if that's where God wants me to be, I can't choose something better. It's not like I've got a better plan than God. If that's where He wants me to go and it's time for me to die, it's time for me to die. I'm not worried about it. I want to be where He is. Why? Because I trust God, not trust what I see, think, or feel, or what others say. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned. Abraham sojourned. He traveled in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for what God had for him. What was God building? Not what he could see with his eyes, but what was God doing? What's God doing in your life? What's God promised? What is your hope? What are you living for? What are you trusting in? What moves you? You know something? I'm looking around, except for maybe two people. I think every single person in this room that I have come up to you, hugged you, and told you I love you. Is that right? And you know that, don't you? There's people that have come here, that are coming here now, that have said to us, you know, even if I wanted to leave here, I couldn't leave here. I said, why? They said, because you love us. And you know what? You don't get loved everywhere you go. What moves you? You know what moves me? One of the things is you. I care about you. Sue and I have had church without you. We've started a number of churches, and we started them without anybody. I don't have to have you to have church. It's not church, but it's kind of like church for me. Every single day I hang out with God. And I have the presence of God. I hear God. I worship God. I sing to God. It's like what you would call church. And I have that every day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about living in His presence. I'm talking about walking with Him. I'm talking about hanging out with Jesus. Who do you have faith in? What is it you're listening to? I don't like reading the newspaper or listening to the news on TV. Do you know why? What do you hear when you hear the news or read the newspaper? What do you see? Fear. What? Bad stuff. I don't like that word. Bad stuff. Okay. What else? How about when you read the newspaper, you hear the news, do you feel like singing? I have peace like a river, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. How about I got joy like a river? You feel like that when you hear the news? It's called bad news. Why would I want to hear about all this bad stuff happening all over the place?
Dum, 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 dum. There's no hope. Oh, everything's terrible. Don't trust anybody. Oh.
Instead, can you tell I've read it a little bit? Can you tell I've read a little bit?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Instead, I chose to read the good news every day. I chose to read the good news. I'm going to think about what this has to say. I'm going to let this fill my thoughts. Do you have a computer? Do you get online? What are you filling your head with? What are you thinking about? Because what you're filling yourself with, you're going to start believing that. Do you understand? You're going to start thinking on that. The television. I'm not against television. I watch it, but I'm selective as to what I watch. Do you understand? What are you believing? This week, can I challenge you? You can write this down for Larry. Romans 10:17. I want you to memorize it. How do you memorize it? Put it on a 3x5 card and write it down in phrases. For example, so then is on the first line. So then. Next line. Faith cometh. That's it. Faith cometh. Next line. By hearing. So how many of you could say so then? Can you say that? So then. Say it with me. So then. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
So then.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's do it again. How many? We're going to say the word so then.
So then.
Now, how hard was that to memorize? So then. Faith cometh. Say that. Faith cometh. Say it again.
Faith cometh.
Say it again.
Faith cometh.
That's very good. I'm waiting to hear him. Say it again.
Faith cometh.
Say it again. Faith cometh. So then, faith cometh. Can you put those four words together? So then, faith cometh. Do you, folks, it's that simple to memorize a verse. Write it down on a 3x5 card. Why do I tell you put it on a 3x5 card? I'm glad you asked. Because it's easy to carry around in your pocket. And during the day, when it comes to your mind, pull it out and look at it so you keep thinking on it. So then, faith cometh. By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Real simple. Meditate on it. Start memorizing it. Don't tell me I'm too old. You know, can't teach an old dog new tricks. We ain't got any old dogs in here. Don't you bow wow. Okay. We'll smack you in the snout. Okay. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Memorize it one line at a time. You know how to do life? Do you ever feel like life is too hard and it's overwhelming? Number one, you pray and you ask God to give you the grace and carry you through it. But then realize, life, here's a principle. Life by the inch is a cinch. Life by the yard is hard. Quit looking at the whole thing. What's the first step? You're looking at your house. It's got to be cleaned. Oh, my word. Overwhelming. Let's put a match to it. It's easier, right? No, then you don't have a house. You're probably going to get caught by the insurance inspector or whatever he's called, okay? So what do we do instead? Okay, God, this is like overwhelming. I need to clean my house. Would you help me clean my house? How can I do that? And he'll give it to you. What's the first step, Lord? Let's work. Let's go clean the dishes. Oh, Lord, that feels like it's a two-day job. It's okay. Just do half of them. It's a baby step. What's the baby step? And after you do that, Man, you feel good. You accomplished something. You're on your way toward your goal. What's the next step, Lord? Baby step. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These people in Hebrews chapter 11, when it goes over an overview of Scripture, I would like to tell you about every single one of them. One of them, and there's one of my favorites, and here it talks about Gideon. And Gideon was told by God this army was coming against him. Do you ever feel like, as a Christian, do you ever feel like, or coming here, do you ever feel like you're outnumbered by the world? You feel like there's too big of an enemy? Well, the children of Israel had this other nation coming against them. And if I remember correctly, there was like 135,000 of them, if I remember correctly, of the enemy. And the children of Israel, they only had 30,000 in their army. They were already outnumbered 4-1, right? Or more. Okay? So watch this. Gideon was the leader. And God says, I'm going to give you the victory. And Gideon said, okay, I got 30,000. I know we're outnumbered 4-1, but God said we're going to do it, so maybe one can take four, and I'll just trust God. So God says, take them. He says, first of all, he says, I want you to tell the 30,000, any of you that are scared, you can go home. Gideon's like, does that mean I get to go? God's like, no. He says, you tell them. Any of you are scared, you get to go home. And if I remember correctly, he said, this is in the book of Judges, around chapter 7, chapter 8, and he says, any of you that are scared, you get to go home. 22 of the 30,000, I think there was 32,000, 22 of the 32,000 left. Now, they were already outnumbered 4-1. Now they just lost 2/3 of their army, and all he said was, if you're scared, you get to go home. So now they're down to about 10,000. Okay? And God says, nah, there's still too many of you for me to give the victory. And Gideon's looking around and he goes, Lord, what do you mean? There's only 10,000 of us. Look at, they cover the land like grasshoppers. And God's like, no, I want everybody to know it was me and not your 10,000. Not that you had a bunch of Jet Lees and, you know, what's that other guy, Chuck Norris's, and, you know, all these wah, 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 putting kung fu in their tutus. He says, I don't want any of that. He says, I want everybody to know it was me. So he says, take them down the water and tell them they can drink. So they'll go down the water to drink. Well, some of them get down on their hands and knees to drink. And they're drinking out of the water. And God says, see all those that are lapping like dogs? He said, yep. He said, send them home. When they all cleared out, Gideon had 300 men left. Now he's supposed to fight 135,000 with 300 men. Please, could I do that, Pastor Harvey? I like those odds. 300 against 135,000. Think of it on the football field. You got 300 on your side. There's 135,000 on the other side. You think you're going to get to their goal? There you go. No, no, that was a different. That was Spartans. But watch this. You know what happened? God says, I'm going to deliver the enemy into your hands. And Gideon believed him. And you know what? He said, okay, God, you tell me how. He said, divide your 300 up into groups of 100. He said, now we're into groups of 100 facing 135,000? He says, yeah. He says, now take your 300, and each one of you, I want you to take a pitcher like a pitcher of water. I want you to take a pitcher and take a sword. And he said, that's the only two things you can have in your hands. And he says, and I want you to go and surround the camp. And they surrounded the camp. And when they surround the camp, God says, now, here's what you do. Remember baby steps? He says, here's what you do. He says, you break the pitchers and you yell out, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. And when they did that, God caused confusion among the enemy. And they went around killing each other. And he says, when you break your pitcher, stand still. Don't move. See the salvation of God. Watch how God works in your behalf without you doing anything. But they had to do a step of faith, surround the camp, take a pitcher. Please, could I go to battle with a pitcher of water? A trumpet. A trumpet. They didn't have a sword, right? They had a trumpet. No sword. They had a trumpet. Could I please go to war? I get to take a water pitcher and a trumpet. And they took, he says, break it and go, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And all 135,000 of them ended up killing themselves because God caused confusion among the enemy. But what did the people, the 300, have to do? They had to move by faith. What obstacle are you up against? What's too hard for you? You have an unsaved loved one. You have bills. You have need a job. You got pain. What is it that's too big for you? Now I ask you, is it too big for Jesus? So what's his baby step? What's his act of faith for you? You could say, I want more of Jesus. But how are you going to get there? God bless you on purpose. Okay, you can have two blessings. How are you going to get there? See, I'm asking you, do you believe God? How do you believe God? Where's the evidence that proves you believe God? What are you trusting Him for? What are you trusting Him for? What's God said to you? If you pick up His Word, He'll start talking to you. I want God to talk to me, then pick up His Word and let Him talk to you. How often do you want to hear Him? I want to hear Him every day. How much do you want Him? Do you want Him as much as the $100 bill that I put underneath the chair? Because see, if I told you that, and I told you it was real, every one of you, or a bunch of you, would start jumping up and flipping over chairs, wouldn't you? You'd start looking for a treasure. In Proverbs 2, in the first five verses, it says, I searched your word as if I were looking for hid treasure. Because it's the words of life. It's the words you need. See, sometimes people, they want things from God, but they just want the simple little, okay, I want to get saved. Just tell me I've had people tell me this. Just tell me the prayer to pray. I said, I can't find the prayer to pray in the Bible. There is no prayer to pray. It's not a magic words. It's repentance toward God. It's faith toward the Lord Jesus. Do you want Him? Do you realize your need? Do you see your sin? That's what I'm telling them right now about me. God, I've got sin. I don't want it. But you're the only one who can come and Jesus me. You're the only one who can come and deliver me. I'm asking you to break my heart over this pride. I'm asking you to reveal it. Help me to see it so that I hate it like you do. So that I'm exercised, so that I don't just talk and say things to be funny or to be smart. I want to say what blesses you and what edifies or encourages other people, builds other people up. I need you, Jesus. Everybody stand up, please. Close your eyes. Jesus, I want to be a man of faith. I want to walk with you. I need you more. I need you more in my life. I need you every day. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want my life to change. And God, I'm going to put all my hope and trust in you. I want to believe in you because you got up from the dead. You could do anything. You made the world. You could do anything. You saved me. You could do anything. You saved Brother Harvey. You could do anything. Nothing's too hard for you. I want to trust in you. Today, help me to trust in you that I would be someone that you could put in this hall of faith, someone who believed you for what you allowed in their life to overcome those obstacles, to overcome those fears, to overcome those insurmountable odds. Lord, I want you to minister into the hearts and lives of each person here and to help them to realize faith comes by hearing the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. My desire is that you would minister into the hearts and lives of each one here. That you would draw them unto yourself. You would help them to realize the importance of reading, meditating, seeking your word. Jesus, you are the word of God in print. And God, that each one wanting to get closer to you would begin to read your word every day. Make it more important than their necessary food. And that I would be able to see men and women in this room start becoming giants of faith. Believing you. Trusting in you. Praying. Depending on you. Sharing their faith. Talking about you. God, that we could be an army together, an army of faith. That we could turn this city upside down for Jesus. Turn this nation upside down and turn it back to Jesus. Lord, may you do that work inside of each one of us. May you help each one of us to get real and make decisions today. That we're going to walk with you. We're going to trust in you. We're going to read your word. I love you, Lord, and I'm asking, I want to commit each one of these people, each one of these families into your hands. Because one day, when I stand before you, I want to give a favorable account as you bring them up and you have me standing there. I want to give a favorable account of their lives. I want them to be a blessing, a sweet offering, their lives, a sweet offering unto you. And I just say, thank you, Jesus, that you love them more than I do. I commit them into your hands. Thank you, Jesus.